and welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Today we are most honored and excited to welcome to the show Ashira, Commander of the United Forces of the Outer Galaxies, Unified Forces, I'm sorry. Our guest wishes to speak to us about where we're at on this journey of ascension, our place at the Intergalactic Council, and who knows what else. As Linda said before the show, this feels serious because Ashira never shows up unless it is. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. And yes, I don't think he'll get angry if you make a little mistake like that. God knows we've all been called worse, right?
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here we are. People are hungry for interaction with our star family, so I was very excited, like half an hour ago to find out who our guest was going to be.
I tell you, they have been nudging, and I certainly have been hearing from a lot of clients that through literal experience, lucid dreaming, visioning, etc., that they are having phenomenal experiences, both with the Intergalactic Council and on board ship. So this is a rapidly growing segment of our lightworker community. So it'll be interesting to hear the insight, I guess we can put it, from the other side being our star family, rather than the angelics or the archangelics or the ascended masters.
Yes.
And in so many ways, you know, our star family feels so up close and personal and closer to us in some ways because of their form and their mission in physicality with us.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a way I just feel like, well, they get to hang out with us, you know, by invitation. It's not like they spy or anything, but by invitation, and they know what our lives are like, and they're, you know, here as orbs and all that sort of thing. They get to observe and participate, and we don't have that yet. So they probably feel close and warm and fuzzy with us, and we do on a purely feeling basis. Like, we don't really have an insight into their lives or their beingness or anything about it, and oh my gosh, we want it so much.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we do feel that energy, and we do perceive our star family in all kinds of ways, but you're right, they probably know us better than we know them in so many ways. But I think you also touched on something really important, and I think it can't be emphasized often enough, is that the star beings, you know, whether they're galactics or intergalactics or however you term that kind of thing, is that the star beings that are in our sphere at the moment are all of a very positive, high vibrational love energy. Mm-hmm. You know, those who were conducting experiments or who came from a different perspective, shall we say, were expelled ages ago, at least probably close to 10 years ago now, and they were assigned to an alternate universe. And so those that are present and that we're feeling and communicating with are really here to help.
Yeah.
That's important to keep in mind, because I still come across individuals who say, I was attacked, or I was given implants, or this or that, that has a negative connotation. And that's just not the case anymore. So if you're feeling that, you might be flashing back to an earlier incident in this or another lifetime. And a good thing to remember, too, is that implants are not necessarily always negative. You know, we've been asking for the upgrades and for the assistance, and sometimes we're given implants to catapult us or to activate certain portions of our DNA or to be transmitters. So keep that in mind as well.
Right. So what I'm wondering too is our government space situation and the, you know, kind of nasty things that we do posing as extraterrestrials, is that deactivated at this point?
I think we have to use discernment. Most of it is deactivated, that they may think that they're playing on a certain level, but in terms of really influencing or having impact, that's just not happening. It's like so many of the other lesser forces. They're really being contained, and particularly anything to do with space programs. This is Ashira talking, by the way.
Okay.
Anything to do with space programs, whether it's in the United States or anywhere else on the planet, is really being severely curtailed, unless it's for the highest and best, the lightest quotient in terms of our ascension process and in terms of unification with other galaxies and planets. It simply isn't being allowed.
Okay. Shall we leap into a meditation, or are we jumping right into...
Let's do a little meditation.
Okay. All right.
Talk about changing gears, huh? Okay. Relax. And simply sink into your heart. Let go of the day, the week ahead, the week behind, the year ahead, the year behind, the decade ahead, and the decade behind. Well, we'll remember that one. And just give yourself deepest thanks and gratitude for being here. For being here right now in this wonderful sacred space with our unseen friends and our seen friends, our human circle, our family of light workers and love holders. Give yourself a hug. Cross your arms over your shoulders, on your back, and give yourself a hug. Give yourself a hug from Susie and I, and from the Divine Mother. Go deeper into your heart, and I ask you to drop down ever so slightly to the base of your rib cage, to your Halion chakra. This is not only the bridge between what you think of as your upper and lower, your higher and lower chakras. This is your bridge to your star brothers and sisters. The colors, the rays, are mint green, shot through with electric and electra blue, cobalt blue, lightning bolts of cobalt, mixing and blending with this beautiful mint green. Breathe in the mint. Taste it. And feel this chakra, this portal, opening and spinning. As if it is a massive walkway or bridge to our star friends. And today, together, let's make this bridge to the beautiful Neptune, the mothership for the unified forces of the outer galaxies. Let's all hold hands and form a daisy chain and run across this bridge together. See the ship. See the landing platform. Oh yeah, it's big enough for all of us. And the doors, the portal, are opening. And there is our friends, our welcoming committee. And our beloved Ashira. Greetings. Greetings, my beloved friends, family, allies. Welcome.
Welcome to you.
I welcome you this day. Not only as Commander-in-Chief of UFOG, but as friend, as brother, as ally. For we do not operate on hierarchy, and we most certainly do not stand on ceremony. Oh, that doesn't mean that we do not have many, many, many delightful ceremonies. We do, and we practice them almost every day. For there are always things to celebrate, always things to create, always things to bring forth in a sacred manner. But I welcome you. I welcome you to our ship, to our home, to where we have lived, many of us, for thousands of years. My beloveds, so often you are saying to us, come and join us. Come and walk with us. And let this disclosure, as you term it, be fulfilled. And you know there have been so many various announcements upon your planet and by people in what you think of or consider authority. And yet so often it simply goes ignored or unreported. It matters not. But in the same way, my friends, we have been beckoning you. We have been calling to you. We have been inviting you. Earth, Gaia, sometimes also known as Gaia, that we often call Terra Nova, has been part of the Intergalactic Council for well over a decade. Your original representatives, Wakana Taka and company, those who have also served at the Council Fire of the Mother Gaia, have performed and served extraordinarily well. But this delegation, as we would call it, is rapidly expanding. Your period of internship is over. The period of finding your legs, as it were, is over. And it is time for Earth, for Gaia, to be fully represented. And not only in ceremonial ways, but fully as humans. Yes, you are still in the process, collectively anyway, of your ascension. Many of you have been on board ship, well, some of you, for decades or eons. But the number of you who have been cohabitating back and forth has been increasing significantly every single day. Excuse me. For my channel, adjust the vocal cords, does she not? But let me explain. As much as you are calling and beckoning to us, we are calling and beckoning to you. Now that is not a universal call, but nevertheless, it is important for you to know, and specifically those that we have been calling, that your presence with us is rapidly expanding. Your participation with us is growing hour to hour. Now, the purpose of this is not merely your presence at the Intergalactic Council, which, by the way, is hosted, located, if you will, here. But it is the daily interactions as well. Many of you are becoming more conversant with our science, with our technology, with our communications methods, with science and healing, even with teaching. We haven't invited any chefs yet, but that will come. Some of you are simply coming to acclimatize, to become familiar with our customs and culture, our ways of doing things, because your role is as emissaries upon Earth, upon Gaia. And that will be a very important role as our presence is more clearly known and identifiable, so that the human beings will welcome us as brethren, as friends, rather than as beings who come with agendas of power or control or even sabotage. That is not only not true, it is not possible. And you say, Ashira, why would that be? Why would it not be possible? Like you, our commitment, our mission and purpose is in service to the Mother, the Father, the One. The unfoldment of her plan upon this planet and far beyond. Our culture, our being, has been in that alignment for a very, very long time. Do we have free will? Yes, we do. But because of our history, the way that we have built our civilizations. There is no will. There is no desire to proceed in any way that is contrary to the divine plan or the will of Mother, Father, One. So would we be, in your terminology, physically capable of altering that? Yes. But in our collective and individual consciousness, that is inconceivable. Now you, as a collective, and this is part of your ascension process, are learning about that use of will in creation and the marriage, the union, the sacred union between your beloved heart, the love, and the expression of it in the outer and the inner realms, which is activated by will. A very simple way to think of it is that it is will, is love in action. So we have no will within our beings or within our history. What I would say current history, which would be many thousands, about 10,000 years, to do anything but help. Think of us in this way. We want, we pray to be your complements. And I do not mean that in the necessarily the romantic way, although for some of you it is. And we are happy about that as well, especially for those of you who have been waiting for a very long time for your partners. But when we say compliment, we mean that as a desirable add-on, a recognition, a bowing, an assistance to the human race, to this magnificent race of Gaians. You are correct, Suzanne, dearest Susie, when you say that we see you more clearly at times, and might I say most times, than you see yourselves. I do not mean that in a way of superiority. I mean it as compliment. We see your beauty, the beauty of your hearts, the commitment of your hearts, the power of your will, your desire to create and to bring forth Nova Earth, Terra Nova, and to live in peace and harmony and joy on a planet that is based on freedom and equality, prosperity and abundance. And I do not mean that in terms of money. I mean the abundance, the bounty of your planet is overwhelming. I do not say that in an acquisitive way. But when you look at this planet, at the elements alone of water and air and sunshine and light and energy of food. Many of you are reacquainting yourselves with the delicious nature of the experience of food in the true form of what Gaia has to offer. I'm not talking about chemical machinations. I'm talking about food that is grown from the heart of the mother. Water that is pristine. The abundance of this Gaia archangel is truly beyond imagination. Now, has it been sullied? Yes. And can it be remedied? It basically, in the blink of an eye, yes. And is that already underway? Yes. There are many things that we do with you as compliments for you to enhance your life. We are not sitting here waiting for approval, although we will never proceed in ways that can be in the slightest way interpreted as aggressive. But there are many things that we do simply because of who we are, wanting to enrich your experience, and in that to anchor the fullness of the mother's plan. And the mother's plan isn't simply for heart consciousness. Yes, that is part of it. Transformative love. Yes, that is part of it. But in that is the harmony between all kingdoms, all species, all races, all belief systems, all nations. That is why we address you as Gaians. That is why you are at the Intergalactic Council. But it is also the fullness of Gaia, the peace of the kingdoms, so that they are not harmed or dishonored in any way. So much of what we have been addressing has been about this as well. And let us also preface that by saying we have absolute confirmation and direction in these actions, as do all the fleets from the Intergalactic Council, of which Earth has been a full participating member. And many of you who are now stepping forth into that role as emissaries on that council are bringing many of the needs and desires of the collective to the council to be worked on and to be fulfilled. It is not just a matter of handing over technology. I hear those pleas written, shouted, whispered daily. Give us our replicator. But can you imagine, not to those who are individuals, sweet and pure, and we know you, but to the collective at this point, it would be like giving car keys or the ignition switch to a spaceship to a 2-year-old. In fact, a 2-year-old would be more equipped because they remember from whence they came. Let's say a young teenager who is acting out. It would not be wise. Why would you wish to replicate disaster or mayhem, nuclear bombs, or weapons? You've already developed destructive technology. Even your 3D printers, which are star technology, have been abused for weapons of war. So we are very cautious and prudent in terms of what we are sharing. Now, our forces on the ground, our boots on the ground, although many of them wear sneakers, high tops, low tops, and everything in between, are growing daily. And they are in every walk of life. Our favorite spots and our favorite towns are highly populated. But they are in Wall Street, in Washington, in Moscow, in Saudi Arabia, Israel. There is no nation that is not being attended to. There is no group that is not being attended to and watched over, assisted where and can we may. So do not think, my friends, that things are not going forward. They are. Now, having said that, I would like, Suzanne, to hand it over to you.
Thank you, Ashira. First, I want to speak my heart and express my gratitude, our gratitude, for all the loving actions that you and the unified forces have taken on behalf of humanity and of Gaia. Thank you so much, very much. We don't even know what you've done. And I will say for myself, whatever I've done that's outside of my conscious awareness, I am absolutely volunteering to be emissary, ambassador, whatever you guys need, basically, to to make a nice, smooth transition here. And I just know that there are many, many of our listeners, if not every single one, who would also volunteer to do that. So might we talk about food? You mentioned chefs. And if we aren't ready for replicators, let's please talk about food and what we might expect there. Because, as you mentioned, lots of us are going through transitions, and my daughter and I are on this very highly restricted sensitivity diet, getting back to health, but it's clearing us, and I really would like to know what to expect from food, if we could talk about that.
The purity of food, the nutritious nature of food, the creative power of food, is part of the gifts of this planet. Now, I'm sure you understand, and many of you, including you, dearest Suzanne, have yearned to be part of the species that doesn't eat.
Yay!
That ingests sheer energy. And all of you, and all of you who are emissaries, and you are right, there is not a single listener that is not prepared to do that.
Yeah.
And joyfully, willingly, graciously.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the gifts of this planet are the food and the water, the elements. And if you look to the native traditions that you have, the elements are key. But why are they key? Because of the gifts they bear. What has happened in the imbalance of Gaia is that the value of food has truly been forgotten. And we look at it and we are overwhelmed and impressed. Now you look at us and say, oh, but you have these magnificent gardens. And we do. But look at this planet. Things are simply growing wild. So it would be strange, and I do mean strange, that Gaia grows and assists you to grow these wonderful nutritious substances, food. And when that occurs, you are eating not only the delicious nature and the vitamins and minerals and all those practical things. You are eating creation. You take a carrot out of the earth, and it is earth and water and air and sunshine. That's what it's made of. And when you take that into your body and that wonderful orange ray, which is creation, oh, it is a gift beyond measure. And so can you imagine going to a feast, going to a banquet, and the hostess, who is sweet Gaia, offering you her bounty, and everybody saying, oh, no, thanks, I don't eat. Even those beings who can exist and do exist on sheer energy would take a bite because it is an offering of love. It is an offering of something that has been part of her. So there has been this imbalance. The beauty, the nutrition of food has been lost. And in the Western culture, it has become chemical warfare of a certain sort. And then in the other nations where there is starvation because of drought or chemicals or what have you, that has been lost. So part of what we are doing and part of what you are doing is the restoration of that balance of the true abundance of this planet. And we are working diligently on it. But also part of that is not only the physical rebalancing, it is the rebalancing of attitudes. So it is not that you need to be eating 24/7, but it is to enjoy the delights that are offered up by this sentient being.
Well, I have to say it's changed our attitudes towards eating a lot, because when you're on like a highly restricted diet and then you're allowed to eat some more foods, gosh, I tell you, you know, you really start to love food and really enjoy eating the food. So I know that this was very purposeful for us to go through this, and it's been a difficult journey, but I do appreciate it. So as far as food, could you just tell me that it's going to be very easy to eliminate GMOs and their contamination of other crops from this whole planet, just gone? Is that possible?
Genetic modification, in some cases, and I'm not talking, you see, everything begins with intent and attitude.
Yeah.
So there are times when genetic modification is desirable. Now, I'm talking from our perspective. I'm not talking about what your current situation is. I need to be clear about that because I can already hear the hue and cry. But genetic modification, as you advance, as we restore, as we conjointly restore, there will be some modification. But it will also be modification to bring back the fullness of nutrients and the balance of those nutrients. If you are asking, can the chemicals, etc., 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 ad nauseum, be eliminated? The answer is yes. But I also want to encourage you, because you are a magnificent creator race, you can also begin changing that balance or imbalance right now. Like we are working on it. We have ships, science ships, explorer ships, nutrition ships, healing ships that are busy on this very project. But as creator race and as adherents and followers and friends and allies of Saint Germain, you are capable. Now, you know when you pray, bless, thank, but also transmute what you are putting in your body before you do so. It's a little late after the fact. Even if it is sheer energy, you are blessing it and bringing it forth. You can change, literally, the chemical composition of what you are putting in.
Mm.
So do not wait for everything in your laboratories to test positive. Do it for everything you put in your body.
Right.
But also I would encourage you, because we also do this, I have begun this day by saying that there are many, many ceremonies that we undertake, and it isn't selective. It isn't, now we are having a ceremony for the healers. Now we are having a ceremony for the communications. We are a family, and so are you. So when we say, oh, if you're free around 5, come on over, we're blessing the planet and all the food.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do this. Use the peace meditation. Take it and make it a food meditation. Make it a chemical-free meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Start Beautiful. Working.
Okay.
As a unified force of Gaia,
yeah,
on the planet. And we would join you with bells on.
Fabulous. You spoke to this a little bit. There are certain receptive humans being seeded with galactic technology, and is there now any resistance to the release and dissemination of ideas that will help us clean this place up?
No. If there is a hiccup or a glitch, as you would call it, in this, the cleanup is underway. And a great deal of this has been current, a little, past, most definitely, undercover. Our reason isn't so much what you would think of as active resistance, but we don't want the abuse of power. I won't say power. I will say abuse of power. For this to become big business. Now, let me be clear. Just as production in many fields has become big business, under the control of individuals or corporations, which are only made up of individuals, that only are interested in making money and gaining more power. We won't abide or support the nature of cleanup, be it food or atmosphere. You know we work continually on your chemtrails, so that is a good example. We won't allow that to be the purview of what you can think of as big business. Now think about it. When a popular idea is born and gains momentum, what has happened? You've had an individual or a corporation say, oh, there's money in that. Therefore, we're going to take it over and popularize it and make more money and gain greater control.
Right.
That has been a paradigm of old Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a paradigm that we will ever support. Now, the positive thing is that there are many, many, many of you. Those of you who are not busy being emissaries have projects that you have dreamt of and planned for yourselves. Now, these projects, such as cleanup of Gaia, production of healthy food, taking care of the kingdoms, cleaning up the air, feeding the starving, all of these will not be based on the paradigm of control and hierarchical setup. And we do support those. So right now, you are in the tipping point, the transition point. These things are coming online, and that is where our support and our full participation, active, knowing, accessible participation will be. Yeah. And that is one of the reasons we are talking today, because these are projects, these are undertakings that are born from the purity of heart, of love. Not because you want to control a community, be it a farming community, an investment community, a banking community, a social community, a hospital community, a healing community. They're not based on aggression and control. And so we support those undertakings.
Would it be accurate to say at this point that the big bosses are pretty much out of commission and we're only dealing with minions at this point?
Yes.
That's pretty groovy. I like it.
Yes, that is very accurate. They may think, and that is part of the humor, and we do have a sense of humor, you know, but that is part of the joke. They may think they are still in control. They're not.
Well, I feel that. You know, I haven't seen very many. We have a couple of months of really beautiful chemtrail-free skies, and then one day last week, it was just sprayed all over the place, and then, you know, now it's clear again. So, you know, whatever happens, it's okay, I trust. I had a vision the other day while I was out driving. I don't know how to read music, but I love to sing, and to sing in most choirs, one must be able to read music. It occurred to me that music could be written in colors. As I understand it, we're headed for a deeper understanding of both color and sound for things like healing. Would you say more about that, please, and in what other ways that might be happening?
Oh, yes, my beloved friend.
Yay.
Now, you don't need to read music in order to sing, to play an instrument. Now, I know traditionally that has been the case, but think of telepathic imprinting so that all those tones, all those measures, the rhythm, staccato, or anything else is already within you, just as most of the formulas are. So when we work with healing, primarily it is with the rays, with colors, and with sound. And as my Galea has often explained to you, inside sound is light. The light is variations of the rays and of different colors, depending. And you can tell this when you listen or sing. And inside the color is the sound. And inside the sound is the color and the light. And it is infinite. It is, think of it, as an infinity sign. And both meet in the middle. We are surprised sometimes at how more people do not sing just for the sheer joy of it. And it does not need to be opera or an aria or a ballad or anything. It can simply be your song of the universe. But when you sing it, when you belt it out, let us say that over here on our side, you have an appreciative audience like you wouldn't believe. And let me also say, Gaia, the plants, the animals, the trees, the flowers, the mountains are all listening to you. And when you sing, walking down Madison Avenue or the streets of Beijing, and you sing, the cement and the pavement and the air is welcoming you and saying, thank God someone is expressing joy.
Oh, yay. That makes me happy. I'm so giddy now. Yay.
We are listening.
Oh.
And you are listening to us. More and more, you are also hearing the angelic chorus. You are hearing the song of the universe. You are hearing the song of Gaia. You are hearing the song of the breeze, of the wind. You're hearing the whispers of the trees and the animals. Sing along. It is one of our favorite things to do.
Yay. Okay, fabulous. I'm just only going to think of you guys now. I'm going to go out in my yard and sing out loud, and it'll be wonderful. Okay.
And so, at the same time, it is healing.
Oh, yeah.
So I have talked about songs of joy, but we also mean the songs of grief. Mm. The songs of confusion, even the song of frustration.
Mm.
Love songs are our favorite, too.
Oh, I want to give you a hug. Okay.
And I gladly accept.
Oh, okay. You've been observing life on Earth for quite a while, as things are right now. It really is a matter of survival of the fittest. That rule, in quotes, where animals have to hunt and consume one another and humans need to take both plant and animal life in order to survive. Would you say more about how that will be changing and perhaps how that was either a deviation from or part of the mother's plan?
That has been part of your evolution. And there is a time and place. Can I say for moving on?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has happened is the reverence, and I do mean reverence, the deep appreciation for a life that is given has, in many situations, gone missing. There are beings, and I have used the example of a carrot, but it can be an animal, because there are many misunderstandings about that as well, that give their lives, not in the way of survival of the fittest, because look what that has done on the human level of people killing people, but the sacrifice that one says, and do not think that a carrot or a cabbage or an apple or an animal cannot speak, they can, that says, I give you my essence to nourish you because I am continuing on elsewhere. And that is imbalance. And sometimes it is a very new little baby carrot, and sometimes it is an old root that has lived for seasons. Sometimes it is a young animal that just came from a brief time to experience what it is to be in that form and to teach love, compassion, and sharing. But is it a situation of just survival? That has been out of balance, not so much in the various kingdoms as in how humans have created that. But there will be a more peaceful progression. And that balance will be, by choice, not by enforcement, be reestablished. Because it will not mean I simply need to do this to survive. Think of the bears that in the spring consume the salmon, so that they may continue on, that they may feed their cubs. The salmon knows. It is not that they feel that they have been martyred. In their collective and individual consciousness, they are aware, and there is an agreement. And although you don't notice it, a reverence in this sacred ceremony of life. It is humans that need to learn this.
We need to learn that it's about the relationship and respect.
Yes. And that it is not about aggression. It is about the circle of support.
Yes, it's true. Okay, there was recently a brilliant ship revealed in a video taken over Colombia. I'm sure there's pictures all over the place and videos, but I would love to know that it's real. But with the prevalence of masterful Photoshop artists, it's not so easy to discern, probably because we want contact so very much and for it to be truly happening. Can you say anything about that particular video?
There are many ships that are being photographed, and yes, in that particular case, it is real.
Whoa! Wow. That was pretty amazing. Okay.
You have been seeing us for a long time as twinkling planets or stars, as sometimes you think it is a shooting star or a meteorite. And it's simply us waving hello. But we are making our presence far more visible these days.
Well, I love that. And I guess it all depends on the size of the ship. But if we see a spot of light in the sky, how far away is the ship?
Usually several thousand miles.
Yowie. Okay.
Wow. We tend to be quite large, you know.
Yes. Yes. Oh. I'm very excited. So we're kind of coming to the end of our thing here, but I would love to have you back for some more conversation. That would be wonderful if you would come.
I would love to, and I would be honored to. And yes, I would be most interested in speaking further. This was a general update, was it not? But let us have a further conversation about the human ascension process that we are enthusiastically, gleefully, joyfully, not only observing but participating in. So we would like to talk about that.
Yes, 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 very much. I look forward to it with glee. All right, so have you got anything in closing? And I just, you know, I really want to say thank you very much again.
My beloved friend and all of you, you are welcome. You are welcome with us, and we feel welcome with you.
Good.
Go with our love, and go, sweet friends, in peace. Farewell.
Farewell.